Well, it was back in the mid-'80s, 1986, and the producer then was Liz Rigby, and she was new to the programme, and she wanted, I think, to reflect the mid-'80s, the time of yuppies going off into the country, you know, and teaching people how to, trying to teach people how to run their lives, etc. So she invented this couple called the Snells. And not a lot was known about them. I mean, we all auditioned. There was myself and probably about a dozen other actresses. And the letter that came to say, you know, this is what we want to do, this is the sort of people they are, was very uninformative, really. It just said in the letter, Robert is a thrusting computer whiz kid, and Linda is probably a doormat. And I thought, oh, I'm not going to play a doormat. I don't want to be a doormat. But at the same time, of course, everyone was watching all the television soaps. So we were all watching Dallas and Dynasty, and Neighbours, I think, had come in. So suddenly there was a frenzy in the nation for more and more and more soap operas. And I think people suddenly realised that we'd had our own homegrown one ticking away for years. And the publicity that went with that, and suddenly the interest rocketed because of as a spin-off from the television interest. So I went into the audition thinking, I'm going to make her unpleasant. And the audition scene was between Eddie Grundy and this woman, unknown at the time, who pops up from behind a hedge to see Eddie doing something disgusting to a small furry creature, you know, disemboweling it or something really country-ish, and is horrified and takes him to task. And so I did it like that, bearing in mind that you know, there was JR, whom everyone loved to hate, and there was Alexis Carrington in Dynasty, whom everyone loved to hate. And I thought, that's what we need in Ambridge. And they said, oh, you've made her unpleasant. And I said, yes. And they said, oh, well, we quite like that. So that's how it happened. And then her voice, well, obviously it's radio, so there were no shoulder pads or big hair, you know, to reflect the period. So I thought, well, I'm going to make her really obnoxious sounding and irritating. And I just feel that you only have to hear the voice and you just want to run a mile, which is rather nice, you know, for the character.
But it's interesting you talk about playing her as an obnoxious character and an unpleasant character. But
Yes.
somehow these days there is a vulnerability and a complexity to her, and somehow she's nowhere
Yes.
near as
Oh
horrible as
no.
she was.
No. And I think that's partly because the writers picked up on the fact that I wanted her to be easily debunked, you know. There's a sort of, you know, the character of Malvolio in Twelfth Night. He's puffed up with pride and self-esteem and all the rest of it, and then it just needs one thing to prick his balloon, and he's lost. And I wanted her to have that vulnerability. So when something does go wrong, and she's proved, she's caught out. And of course, the fact that she is so has absolutely no sense of humour. I was determined to play someone who didn't have a sense of humour, never got the joke, no self-awareness, because she doesn't know when she's putting people's backs up. She thinks she's wonderful. I find that really challenging. I know one or two people like that, and it's great fun to play.
This is going to say it must be. You must look forward to going into being
I
Linda, you know,
do.
every time.
I do. I do. And, you know, there are times even off stage in one's real life, you know, off mic, I should say, in one's real life when you find yourself adopting the position, actually, Linda Snell, and you're on the phone, you're getting absolutely nowhere. And in the end, I find myself going into not exactly the voice, but the attitude.
You're channeling
I'm
Linda.
channeling Linda for my own purposes, yes.